Good morning, everybody. This is the February 1st, 2022 special session of the Portland City Council. Keelan, good morning. Please call the roll.
Good morning, Mayor. Good morning, Commissioners. Rubio.
Here.
Ryan.
Here.
Hardesty.
Here.
Maps. Here. Wheeler.
Here. Under Portland City Code and State Law, the City Council is holding this meeting electronically. All members of the Council are attending remotely by video and teleconference. And the city has made several avenues available to the public to listen to the audio broadcast of this meeting. This meeting is available to the public on the city's YouTube channel, eGovPDX, www.portlandoregon.gov/video, as well as channel 30. The public may also provide written testimony to the council by emailing our council clerk at cctestimony@portlandoregon.gov. The council is taking these steps as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic and the need to limit in-person contact and to promote physical distancing. This pandemic is an emergency that threatens the public health, safety, and welfare, which requires us to meet remotely by electronic communications. Thank you for your patience, your flexibility, and your understanding as we continue to manage through these circumstances to conduct the city's business. With that, we'll hear from legal counsel on the rules of order and decorum. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor. To participate in council meetings, you may sign up in advance with the council clerk's office for communications to briefly speak about any subject. You may also sign up for public testimony on resolutions, reports, or the first readings of ordinances. The published council agenda at www.portland.gov/council/agenda contains information about how and when you may sign up for testimony while City Council is holding electronic meetings. Your testimony should address the matter being considered at the time. When testifying, please state your name for the record. Your address is not necessary. Please disclose if you are a lobbyist. If you are representing an organization, please identify it. The presiding officer determines the length of testimony. Individuals generally have 3 minutes to testify unless otherwise stated. When your time is up, the presiding officer will ask you to conclude. Disruptive conduct, such as shouting, refusing to conclude your testimony when your time is up, or interrupting others' testimony or council deliberations will not be allowed. If there are disruptions, a warning will be given that further disruption may result in the person being placed on hold or ejected from the remainder of the electronic meeting. Please be aware that all City Council meetings are recorded.
Thank you. Colleagues, we have one item this morning, item number 59, please, Keelan.
Accept the Portland Police Bureau report to City Council on the 2022 Portland Joint Terrorism Task Force.
Colleagues, last week when I learned of several unanswered questions that Council had asked regarding this report, I pulled the item back to my office. The police bureau has worked to answer many of these questions, which have been included in the revised report. This is the third annual report from the police bureau regarding PPB's cooperation with the Joint Terrorism Task Force following the formal withdrawal from the task force in May of 2019. City Council Resolution 37424 details the parameters of that engagement and cooperation. Part of that is also this annual report to the City Council. Just from a housekeeping perspective, we should be aware of the fact there are several different kinds of reports. What is actually specified in the Council resolution is a presentation to Council, meaning there would not be a motion, a second, a vote, or public testimony. But I think there's been great confusion this year. There are a number of people who have signed up for the report. So if there is no objection, what I'd like to do is treat this like a regular report presentation, meaning we will hear public testimony. And I understand we have a number of people signed up. I will then ask for a motion and a second and take a vote to accept this report if there's no objection from any of my colleagues on the council today. And I don't see anybody looking like they object. We have Chief Lavelle and Sergeant Pete Simpson with us today to present the report and answer any additional questions council may have on the topic. So with that, welcome Chief Lavelle and Sergeant Simpson. I'll turn this over to you. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor. Thank you for having us this morning. Thank you for scheduling this and letting us be a part of this presentation. I've just got a few opening remarks, and then I'm going to turn it over to Sergeant Simpson for a presentation of the report. But this JTTF annual report documents the relationship between the Portland Police Bureau and the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force, as directed by City Council Resolution 37-424. This partnership follows strict guidelines and is an important component in public safety. But as Chief, I feel it's important to acknowledge community concerns around the broader context of PPB's interaction and relationships with other federal government entities, particularly involving the law enforcement response to demonstrations in 2020. I understand that for many in the community, there remains unresolved questions regarding the response from law enforcement and fear of federal government overreach. In the early days of the demonstrations, PPB communicated with federal partners who were tasked with securing federal buildings in the downtown area. But as the days ran into weeks, Portland saw a surge in federal law enforcement resources, which changed the dynamics of these events and created a challenging environment for all. In mid-July of 2020, the Portland City Council unanimously voted to ban the Portland Police Bureau from working with federal law enforcement in Portland during the nightly demonstrations. From that point forward, there was no information exchange or cooperative work done between PPB and the federal law enforcement agencies until it was later clarified to allow communication and cooperation with the locally assigned federal officials. The Portland Police Bureau remains committed to transparency and accountability, including our work with federal partners. And with that, I will turn it over to Sergeant Pete Simpson for a presentation of the reports from last year.
Thank you, Chief. Good morning, members of council. This report, as required by City Council resolution, dictates that there are four areas that need to be reported on annually to City Council. These four areas are the frequency with which the FBI's special agent in charge requested the assignment of PPB CIU officers for an investigation, the number of cases that were referred to the PPB by the FBI, the number of cases that were referred to the FBI by PPB, and the nature of closed cases referred to PPB by the FBI, including the demographics of persons investigated and the disposition of those cases. It also asks that by annually, the PPB CIU members receive refresher training with the Portland City Attorney's Office on any applicable laws and federal laws that would apply to this, this resolution. That training did occur on January 6th, and the City Attorney's Office has advised us that there are no changes in state or federal law that would preclude PPB officers from working with the FBI's JTTF. Jumping into the four areas in the report, the first, the frequency with which the FBI requested assignment of PPB officers for a JTTF investigation. In 2021, there were no requests made of PPB officers to assist on an investigation with the JTTF. The next section, this number of cases that were referred to the PPB by the FBI. In 2021, there was one case referred to PPB. That case was reviewed by CIU investigators and investigative action was taken, which is summarized in this report. I will get to that in the third section. Per City Council request, PPB reports out that there were no cases or no information shared with PPB that was based off of facial recognition. We are aware of City Council resolution regarding that matter, and that would be a non-starter for us to accept any information and act on any information based on facial recognition technologies. The third section, the number of cases that were referred to the PPB, referred to the FBI by PPB. In 2021, PPB CIU referred seven cases to the JTTF for review. The nature of these cases included a shooting at a federal facility, a bomb threat to a religious facility, an arson, a threat of targeted violence to a police officer involving a subject linked to other federal charges, a threat of targeted violence to an elected official, a bomb threat to a City of Portland bridge, and a bomb threat to a federal facility. The known demographics of the subjects involved in those cases include one Hispanic female and five white males. In two cases, no suspect was identified. I can go through each of these cases briefly if counsel wishes, or jump to the final section.
Why don't we go to the final section, and then Sergeant, if anybody has specific questions, we can take that up later.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
The final section is the nature of closed cases referred to PPB by the FBI, including demographics of persons investigated and the disposition of those cases. The FBI referred one case to PPB, the FBI JTTF referred one case to PPB last year. That case was a report of a 14-year-old who posted a statement about bringing a bomb to school on Snapchat. The FBI received the initial threat and determined that the account was linked to a Northeast Portland address near a Portland high school. An FBI agent and PPB officer contacted the child and his family at the home and determined that there was no credibility to the threat. This incident and investigation occurred on the first day of school. The subject in that case was a white male. He was identified, and that case was closed after the subject was interviewed and determined that the threat was not credible. There was one holdover case from the 2020 report, which was a case referred from FBI to PPB. It remained open throughout the end of that year and into the next year. This case, the complainant was a member of the faith community, is a faith leader, and reported a threat, text message threat, both to PPB and the FBI. Each referred the case to each other. Ultimately, it was determined that the likely subject of that case, of that threat, was located out of state. So FBI Portland referred that case off to FBI Tampa and closed it locally. That was from the 2020 report referred to as case 10. There were some other questions posed by counsel pending after the report, the initial draft report was shared last week. Those questions and answers are contained in this report. I'm happy to summarize those or just answer specific questions about the overall report.
Thank you, Sergeant. Before we get a public testimony, we'll ask if there's any questions for the time being. Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Chief Lavelle and Sergeant Simpson, both for being open to additions to the report. As someone who was new to council when we first withdraw our support for the Joint Terrorism Task Force, I realized that how we present something really matters, and so I would like the next reports moving forward to actually talk about that there was a city council vote that was very intentional to withdraw Portland Police from the Joint Terrorism Task Force. And because of that vote, we have instituted parameters under which Portland Police will work with the Joint Terrorism Task Force. And not that anybody is not disclosing information, but if it's not in context, then there are assumptions made if people are just seeing this for the very first time. And it's always helpful to remind people where we started and why this report is so looked forward to by the community every year when it's actually presented. So that's that's some critique that I wish I'd had a chance to share with you before today, but I would really like to see that as we move forward, because the resolution didn't start the process. The process started with a city council vote withdrawing our cooperation with the Joint Terrorism Task Force. So newer colleagues may not have that background and that context, and it's important that we continue to educate both council members and the public about why we get this report. So that's my only feedback at the moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Any questions for right now? Seeing none. Keelan, how many people do we have signed up for public testimony?
We have 10 people signed up.
Very good. 3 minutes each. Name for the record. I'll let you facilitate, Keelan. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I'll call three people up at a time. First up, we have Michelle Stevenson, Malcolm Chaddock, and Sushma Raghavan. Michelle, are you able to unmute?
I'm able to unmute, yes. I didn't know that I was supposed to. Do I start? Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Hello, my name is Michelle Stevenson, pronouns she, hers. I'm a community member and speak for myself. My hope is that we withdraw from the Joint Terrorism Task Force completely because it unfairly targets minority members. It allows Portland Police Bureau to skirt Oregon privacy law and use the FBI to gather information on protesters and minority community members who are not breaking the law. The positives of breaking with JTTF is that we build a more equitable policing system and we build the trust with our whole community and show good faith to racial inequity protesters and the BIPOC community. The negatives are that the PPB would lose a resource in complicated investigations. Portland has rivers of trauma from inequity. I can show those rivers in my own story, and I'm white and privileged. These stories are a part of us. They always will be, but the stories haven't ended. We are still becoming and changing every day. The future is as much a part of us as the past, and we get to choose what we do next. What we do next will inform our stories and who we are. For the story of Portland, I would hope not for a utopia, which I don't believe exists, and not for the good old days, which I personally remember as lonely, traumatic, and dehumanizing, but as a city with more compassion and a city that is people-centered. Portland is really at a crossroads right now. We are coming out of a pandemic. We're politically divided. We have major issues with homelessness and crime. We have a poverty and livability problem, great inequity, a mental health crisis, and an addiction crisis. Our city is overwhelmed. We're tired. We need help. I think we want help. Most of us do. The easy choice is to ask for any help at any moral cost, even if that help also brings more inequity to Portland. To receive this JTTF help from the federal government has hurt our community members more than helped us. The majority of our in-your-face problems have arisen from inequity. I agree that we do need help right now, but it really matters that it is not a help that will bring more of the root problem to Portland. We are fighting so hard for true public safety that serves our community members with equality, compassion, and accountability. We have already paid such a big price as individuals and as a community for the baby steps forward we have taken. I urge Portland to not take any step back, and partnership with JTTF is 100% a step back. It isn't worth it. Thank you.
Next up, we have Malcolm Chaddock.
Good morning. Thank you for organizing this session. My name is Malcolm Chaddock. I'm current president of the Veterans for Peace chapter here in Portland. And I'm testifying to give some historical continuity to all of this, or context rather. My first day in Portland, second day, in Portland, I was in front of City Council testifying on matters related to the Joint Terrorism Task Force because I had recently relocated from Fresno, California, where my first peace and social justice group, Peace Fresno, had been infiltrated by the Joint Terrorism Task Force for the area. A sheriff's deputy from Fresno County had been assigned to them and spent 6 months in meetings and traveling to protest events with our group undercover. This was a fairly shocking development at the time and was recognized as a problem internationally. The incident of the infiltration was included in Michael Moore's movie, Fahrenheit 9/11, and had Democracy Now episodes where that spoke of it. Over the years, this over-the-top kind of investigative and behavior, shall we say, has only continued. The cases of Muhammad, for example, who probably wouldn't have been able to do any of the things that he had originally spoken of, being helped to create the circumstances of his demise, his own demise, is only one example. And so I am here today to restate, as I have now for the last nearly 20 years, that the Joint Terrorism Task Force has its own imperatives and does not necessarily function in the best interests of the communities where they operate. And I once again would say that acceptance of the report or not, that we should move away from a further relationship with the JTTF. Thank you.
Next up, we have Sushma Raghavan.
Thank you. Good morning, Mayor Wheeler and members of the Portland City Council. Thanks for allowing me to submit my testimony today. For the record, my name is Sushma Raghavan. I'm from Unite Oregon, and we are a statewide organization dedicated to building a unified and intercultural movement for justice. I'm here today with a simple message. Portland is better off fully out of the Joint Terrorism Task Force, and I urge you to fully withdraw us from this federal partnership immediately, and not just on a case-by-case basis. The fundamental issues have not changed. Participation in the JTTF does not give the police chief, the police commissioner, the city attorney, or any other local official meaningful oversight over the officers' activities. The report has been put out that's vague, and as you all know, we've already had trouble holding law enforcement accountable in this city. We should not continue a partnership that further undermines unaccountable policing in our city. The FBI has been deputized to profile, harass, and spy on activists like those from the Black Lives Matter movement or those who protest. Federal law enforcement has targeted Muslims, immigrants, refugees, and other vulnerable members of our community. Continuing to partner with the JTTF is a clear violation of our commitment to be a sanctuary city. If you're serious about the city serving as a sanctuary, you must fully withdraw us from the JTTF. Thanks for your time.
Next up, we have Marlene Wallingford, followed by Brandon Mayfield and Mariana Garcia Medina. Marlene, are you able to unmute?
Yes. Hello. My name is Marlene Wallingford, and I am a board member of the Portland JCL. And I would like to thank the City Council for agreeing to allow testimony from the public on reports to the Council. It's important that ordinary citizens have an opportunity to comment about issues that affect our daily lives. An open dialogue between city leaders and the community leads to trust and collaboration and ultimately leads to better outcomes. I read the amended report from the Portland Police Bureau and I'm grateful that more descriptive information was given about the kinds of cases that were shared between the two agencies. But as a member of the Portland JCL, a civil rights organization, I strongly urge the Portland Police Bureau to stop all cooperation with the Joint Terrorism Task Force. So it's ironic that although the FBI is charged with protecting the civil liberties of Americans, it has a history of violating constitutionally protected rights. Community leaders like civil rights icons Martin Luther King and Malcolm X were surveilled and followed because of their call for change, was seen as threatening. Even now, according to an investigation by the New York Times published last December, agents from the FBI were dressed in plain clothes and embedded in Portland racial justice protests that followed the presidential inauguration. The newspaper's investigation found the FBI had officers in protests walking alongside activists, recording scenes of the day, and alerting police to potential arrests. So the FBI's resources, you know, should not be directed toward stopping vandalism. The U.S. Supreme Court has heard arguments in November 2021 in a case involving an FBI undercover operation at a mosque in California. Area Muslims are suing the FBI over a nearly year-long surveillance program that publicly yielded no results. The FBI is attempting to use national security as an excuse to dodge accountability, and this has deprived the plaintiffs of a chance to represent in court a mountain of evidence they say shows the FBI pursued a dragnet surveillance campaign against the Muslim community in Southern California that included secret audio and video recordings and was motivated solely by the religion of those monitored. This is no different than when in World War II, an Issei man was arrested for the now unbelievable argument that the Japanese were genetically predisposed to be loyal to Japan. Masao Yasui, father to the only Oregonian to win the Presidential Medal of Freedom, Min Yasui, was accused of planning to blow up the Panama Canal on the basis of his daughter's drawing of the canal for a school assignment. In the aftermath of 9/11, the U.S. government targeted Muslims. So we've been told that by cooperating with the agency, the Portland Police Bureau can monitor whether the agency is violating an individual's constitutionally guaranteed right to protest. There's no way our local police can have any control over FBI practices. It's time that we direct our community from an agency that has such a clouded history of upholding our constitutionally protected rights. Thank you.
Next, we have Brandon Mayfield.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Brandon Mayfield. I'm a local attorney. First of all, I want to commend the City Council and the Police